We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
That's all it is. The Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, she needs $1,000 to go to Africa. Give it to her. That's not your tithe. That's an offering. That 10% belongs to God, and you can't use it for anything else but God. The offering you can do anything with. Anything God leads you. You see a homeless person going down the road that doesn't have food to feed themselves, and you feel like pulling out a $10 bill because the Holy Spirit urges you to give them that. That's an offering. And I guarantee, whether it's a $10 bill or a $1,000, you'll get it back. I guarantee it. It's biblical. It's in the Word. You won't go without it. If God says to you, I want you, Bob, to give $1,000 to Marshall because he really needs it and the Holy Spirit leads you, you'll get that $1,000 back. God will make sure. He will replace it. But He won't increase it. So we have to look at how do we increase. And the only thing left is the first fruit offering. And I'm going to go into it a lot more tonight. I got time today. What is the first fruit? We have so many different ideas of what a first fruit offering is. We read in the Old Testament about the Lord requiring the Israelites to give the first fruit of their grain, the first fruit of their cattle, the first fruit of their possessions. But only in a couple of places is the Lord very specific. Let's look in Proverbs 3:9, and this is a key verse. Tuck this one in the back of your head and don't forget it because it's a key. Honor the Lord, chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions. Your possessions are what? Your tithes and offerings. You tithe off your possessions. You offer off your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions and, okay, here we go, with the first fruits of all your increase. So that your barns will be what? Filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing with new wine. There's two things here. God is trying to get across to us. Honor Him with your possessions. Your possessions is your tithes and offerings. You can't give a first fruits off of your possessions because you already have them and they aren't first. Are they? If you get $1,000 a week paycheck, that's your possession. It's not first. It's coming in every week. That's your possession. So you give God a tithe and offering off your possessions. And then He says, and with the first fruits of your increase. This is a hard one to follow. But He says, then your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with wine. The first fruits is the third part of the key of God's threes, which brings Christians into overflowing. Mary and I, for years, tithe. And you might use the word religiously. And we got into the old argument. We don't really argue, but the discussion. Well, is the tithe off of the gross? Or since I don't get the gross, would the tithe be off my net after taxes and insurance? And darn, you know, we got that payment that comes out automatically. Would that make the tithes minus that? Because I really don't see any of this. You know how many times we went around? I mean, that's me. I went around more times than I just... And you know what God said to me? It's a tenth of your possessions. Your possessions, if you get a, if you have $1,000 a month check, and by the time it gets to your hand, it's $20, it don't matter. It's $1,000 a month. God owns a tenth of it. God owns a tenth of it. And if because you're not good with money and you get $20 left over, that's not God's fault, that's yours. And let's be honest. God didn't put you in debt. God didn't buy this. God didn't buy that. If you got 20 bucks left over after your check gets in, it's not God's fault, it's yours. But that's your possession. So out of that, you know, you're not required the offering. The offering is what comes into your heart from the Holy Spirit. The offering is what God leads you to. The tithe, that's God's, and you don't have a choice. And if you don't do it, you're cursed. There, it's black and white. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell, and I don't care if you believe it. If you don't believe in tithing and don't give 10%, you're cursed. I don't care whether you believe it or not. That's what the Bible says. The Word of God, you're cursed. And I don't like being cursed. And I've been cursed before. And I know what it's like to be cursed. Oh, God, I can't afford it this month. Okay, Jay, let's see how many hours you can work. I've lived it. I've lived God not blessing me because I was too cheap to give Him His 10%. You know, I've been a CNA before. Actually, I've been homeless before. And I guarantee you, when I was homeless, I wasn't giving my 10%. And it wasn't God that made me that way. It was me that made me that way. But then we come back to, how do we increase? God, if we tithe, keeps us even. God, if we give offering, gives it back. God, if we tithe, opens the floodgates of heaven to be spiritually blessed. But how do we get ahead? We have to go back to the Old Testament again. Past Proverbs. You guys still with me, or am I putting you to sleep? Let's go to Joshua chapter 5. Remember the promised land? We've already talked about what happened to the Israelites, haven't we? We've talked about how they had their molten cow and how God got mad at them and what happened. They spent 40 more years. But even though God was mad at them, He fulfilled His promise to give them the promised land. Why did they have to wander for 40 more years? Does anybody remember? They were disobedient, but why did they wander? It wasn't disobedience in that. It was they didn't trust God. God told them to do what? He said, send 10 spies into the promised land and do what? Spy it out and come back. Now of those 10 spies, 2 said, hey, we can take this thing easy. This is a cream puff. The other 8 came back and said, oh my gosh, there's giants out there. I mean, there's big dudes. I mean, they make Goliath next to David look the whole man, but we don't want to go there. And what did the Israelites do? They believed the 8. Disregarded the 2. What did God say? He said, as a punishment, that generation, He shortened it. Think about it. They only had to wander 40 years. A biblical generation, life-wise, at that time was close to 80 years. So all of those people that believed, except for the 2 spies in Joshua, wandered for 40 years and all died. But even though God was mad at them, even though they had a death sentence of wandering, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, they didn't go hungry, they didn't get hot, they didn't get cold, they didn't get swelling feet. That's God. But when they reached the promised land, and we have to now look at Joshua chapter 5, when they reached the promised land, what was the first city that they attacked? Come on, the song. Joshua, Jericho, Jericho. Okay. I know. If I don't have a background, I need help, right? Let's look at chapter 5. So it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites... Yeah, that's too far back. Let's start at 6. That's too much history. Chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up as because of the children of Israel. None went in and none came out. Okay? So the children of Israel have now come to the first city. The first city in the Promised Land, Jericho. The city is shut up. They're paranoid. Nobody's going in. Nobody's going out. God has shut this up. Okay? Now, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city with all your men of war and shall go all around the city once, and you shall do this for 6 days. And the priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that the people shall shout with great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Now there was some lessons to be learned here. Lord said, I've given you the city, but I want to prove a point. I want you to go up, and I just want you to march around it. Go back to camp. Next morning, I want you to go up. I just want you, don't talk, don't shout, don't threaten them, don't tell them, man, my God's going to get you. Just walk around, go back to camp. For 6 days, they walked around and went back to camp. Now, we all have heard the sermon saying that they shouted and the walls came down. What did he say? He said, on the 7th day, the priest shall blow the trumpets. And when you hear the sound of the trumpets, the people shall shout, and then the wall shall fall down. What happened there? The priest had to blow the trumpets. If you and I had jumped up and down and shouted, nothing would have happened, would it? The priest, the prophet, the man of God, had to give the command. They had to blow the trumpets before we could go forward. They shouted, the walls came down. Now here's the catch, so to speak. Down to verse... Okay, here we go. And the 7th time it happened, and when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So they even had to wait for Joshua's command. Now, God's talking here. Now the city shall be doomed to destruction, and all who are in it. Okay? Except for Rahab the harlot. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take the accursed things and make camp of Israel a curse and will be troubled in. But all the silver, all the gold, all the vessels of bronze, the iron, are, what's the word here in the King James? Consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened. When the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted that great shout, the wall fell down flat, and the people went into the city, and every man before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, women, oxen, old, young, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. Now, what do you notice here about this city? What's different about Jericho? This is first what? Jericho is the first fruit of the Promised Land. Jericho is the first fruit of the Promised Land. They have entered into the Promised Land. This is the first city they must conquer. Before they can go anywhere else, this is the first city. This is the first of the first. Right? Are you with me on this? What did God say about it? He said that it is all, what? Consecrated to the Lord. Now, what happened, if you know the history, what happened after Jericho? Or what, should I say, was supposed to happen? God told them that this is the first city. I am going to give you this promised land. You're going to go, you're going to march around it 6 times. On the 7th time, you're going to shout after the trumpets are blown. The walls are going to come down. You're going to utterly destroy it. You're going to take nothing because it's consecrated unto God as the first fruit of your new land, the first fruit of your increase. And if you do, what will happen? Curse! Wait till we get up into chapter 7 and read the curse. And then the Lord tells them what? He tells Joshua, everything else is yours. Everything else is yours. Everything else is yours. All the city, all the land, all the cattle, all the gold, all the silver, everything else is yours. So what did they do? They had to give, just like it says in Proverbs, they had to give the first fruit of the Israelites' increase. And then everything else was theirs. Everything else. Not just a little bit of land. Everything the Israelites wanted became theirs. Every piece of gold, every cow, every sheep, every stream, every tree, every city. But they had to do what? They had to give the first fruit to God. Because Jericho was the first city in the promised land. It was therefore the first fruit of increase, and therefore it was consecrated unto God. It didn't belong to them. And God said, if you take it, if you hold on to it, if you covet it, there will be a curse. Now let's go to chapter 7 and read what that curse was. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. Achan, the son of Kamah, the son of Zabad, the son of Ziha, the tribe of Judah. I sure wish they had Jones and Smith in the Bible. It'd be so much easier. Took the accursed things. Now, what were the accursed things? Accursed things were anything taken from Jericho. Why does the Bible say he took the accursed things? Because God said they belong to me. And if you touch them, there'll be a curse upon it. Well, if you take something that God placed a curse upon, it becomes an accursed thing to you.
If you touch something that God has put a blessing or created a holiness to, as he says, the first fruits are holy unto God. They are not holy unto you. They are not holy unto me. They are holy unto God. And if we touch those, we will be cursed. Let's just read in Joshua chapter 7. Starting with, verse 24. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achim, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and he brought them into the valley of Achor. And then Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And then all of Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire, and after they had stoned them with stones, they raised over them a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of anger. Wherefore the name of this place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You know, I guess the way I look at it is when the Lord gets mad, look out. Not only did they take Achan and his whole family, but all of the things that he took, the gold. Then they took all of his clothes, his tents, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, every single thing that he had, and they put it in a circle, and they stoned him to death. And then that wasn't good enough. God turned around and said, okay, burn them, and then bury them. It is not a smart thing on our part to take something that God has set aside as holy. There's a curse attached to it, and if we're not careful, and we do that, we could end up just like Achim. Look at the New Testament. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and there was no gray, there was black and white. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? When Ananias heard that, he died. It was theirs. It wasn't God's, it was theirs. But they set it aside for God. They said, we're going to give this to the Lord. We're going to set this aside. And when you set something aside and make it holy, you take it back, there's a curse upon it. Let's look at the benefits. Let's look at the blessing that can be found. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. This is a key verse, and you should remember this one. Get your highlighters out, highlight it, remember it, keep it in your heart. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce, that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, of course, here in Wyoming, you know as well as I do, that would be their preference, that their vats would be bursting with beer. But God is not talking about an alcoholic beverage here. God is not saying that, hey, I'm going to give you all the wine you could ever want to consume if you give me your first fruits. He says, if you honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your produce, then your barns will be what? Filled with plenty. What does that mean? That means that you're going to have more than enough to eat. You're going to have more than enough to pay your bills. You're going to have more than enough than you need. Not just enough. They will be filled with plenty. Overflowing. More than enough. What does he mean when he says your vats will be bursting with wine? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Well, who is the vine man? The vine man is God. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. What is he speaking here of? He is speaking here spiritually. Not only do we have the promise in Malachi that the windows of heaven will be opened upon us, but he says here your vats will be bursting with wine. Your spiritualness, your spirituality, your joy in the Lord will be overflowing. He will keep you happy, healthy. There is both a curse and a promise and a blessing that you will receive if you follow the first fruits. The Lord has shown us things. He has opened the doors for you and I to understand things. All we have to do is seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will follow. And say some of these things, part of these things, a few of these things, one or two of these things, all things shall follow. But our first priority is to seek. You can't understand. I can't understand the words that are in the manufacturer's handbook if we don't seek, if we don't look, if we don't desire. The Lord says, consume this word. Hide it in your heart. Put it in and take it in and make it a part of you. You can't prosper. You can't understand. You can't go forward. You can't tell your neighbor about Jesus if you don't know Him. And you can't expect God to bless you if you don't know how to work it. And you can't know how to work it if you don't study His Word and see what He tells you. None of us are smart enough to know it without this book. And then the only way we know it is through His living Word that the Holy Ghost gives us. Tonight, I'm going to be giving you all the Scriptures. It's going to go pretty quick, but I'm going to give you all these Scriptures. And I want you to go through this book, this Word, and search it. Search it. And if you can prove me wrong, come to me and show me. But I don't think you can. This is the living Word of God. And God tells us that we will be blessed if we follow the plan that He has set out for us. God never intended us to be a mediocre generation. We are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. God did not intend for His people to struggle and be poor, broke, destitute, and more worried about themselves than His work. Go forth, study, and prove God's Word to be true. Because that's the only way to grow.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to You right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with Your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow You. Thank You, Father, for sending Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank You that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at Your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank You, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.